you know, representative, blah, blah, blah. No, we're not seeing that. Because guess what? If that were the case, how would they hide that now?
If this was a real pandemic and those folks were in danger, you'd know it. They would plow you out of the way to try to cheat death any way they can. They'd take a baseball bat to you if you were lined up for, and they cut in line. I've said that. And the fact that, well, what they actually would do, and this is sad to say, is that they would pretend that nothing was going on and there was no cure. And after they wiped out all the people they wanted to wipe out, then they would say, you know, we have to do something about this. This seems to be a problem. But that they did the reverse approach now, saying, oh, my God, this is crazy. And they can get what they want that way, I guess, in their thinking. But again, I don't think that they anticipated this many people would tell them to fuck themselves. That is right. Something I don't think they had any idea would happen. I think they thought they were going to scare the living shit out of everybody, and they were going to go run and get their jabs. And the fact that that isn't happening, now they're scrambling.
Yes, I mean, you look at Fauci's fine, Collins is fine. All of these people in power are fine.
Not one case. No. And what about the tech moguls and the Hollywood types and the music folks?
Exactly.
Well, what's going on there? They just happen to beat the odds? It's incredible.
Some of these people have died. Some of the actors and singers and different people. Yes, we've seen this over the course of the last 6 months. We've seen some of them die. Yes, because we find it. We go back 2 months and we find.
Okay, but those guys are mostly B-list types, you know, and C-list types. To be honest with you, with their careers, we're not talking about the top folks. You know, A-listers. I mean, you would see. Mm-hmm. Look, wouldn't you see that mixed in a little bit? If it was just completely, you know, random, you would see. So you have to look at these patterns.
You're not seeing the people in power suffer with paralysis, Bell's palsy. I'm even talking about the most minor ones.
Yeah.
People are being diagnosed.
Give me a blood clot. Give me something.
Right.
Blood clot.
Right. And a lot of the Congress people that did get COVID last year were considered, and I hate this word, asymptomatic, because the PCR tests were bunk. If you say, you know, Rand Paul had it or Tom Massey had it, and they're able to say, like, you had it, but you were sick.
Well, these guys said they have it, and they're quarantining, and then they were told 14 days later, they came out and said, oh, I'm fine. I didn't really get sick. It's like, well, you probably didn't even
fucking
have it.
No, but some of them said, yeah, but that's what I mean. Some of them last year, when you were hearing Senator this has it and the representative that had it, and you were hearing that they were fine, like they were saying they were fine, and that they were asymptomatic. They were labeling it. They were using the asymptomatic word like they're using the breakthrough word. So we were all screaming back then, and I wish maybe one night I've got to send. Sure, you've seen the clip from the 1990s. Carrie Mullis, the creator of the PCR test. Did you ever see that clip
in the
90s?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the PCR test was never meant for this. He was hating on Fauci in the 90s. Basically said he knew nothing. But this is the test that got the emergency use authorization and, you know, false positive.
I'm looking this guy up. Didn't this guy just die right before
he died?
Right before this stuff rolled out?
Summer or fall of 19.
Well, don't forget, this thing was already underway. We reported back in early 2020, I think it was March or April 2020, that our intel folks in and around Beijing had said this was a problem going back to September of 2019. And the rest of the world was pitching this, and certainly the State Department was pitching this as a problem.
Yeah, look up when he died.
I'm looking at August 7th, 2019, Newport Beach, California. Mm-hmm. That's convenient.
Very.
Very.
When did Epstein die? August what?
It was July something.
Was it July?
Was it July? Let me look it up.
Now look it up.
Epstein. Da, da, da. He hung himself, you know. I don't know if you knew that. A lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 days later, Epstein died.
Convenient.
It's a busy month.
Busy month. Some sciences. Yeah.
Tough month for science. It's a tough month for science.
Yeah.
Epstein was a scientist. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I still want to know who's running his foundation. The website's still up. Pull it up.
Well, we've had former business partner on the podcast a while back who says everything's running. And Ghislaine Maxwell, since she's in jail, well, her money's moving around. The entire network they were using money with and moving money around, that's still running. He said, who's running that? The Justice Department? And I said, damn. That's not a far leap.
It's scary.
What we know about the Justice Department.
No, it's not. I mean, when I stumbled upon that one website, I think it's Jeffrey Epstein VI, whatever it is, you pull it up, it's an active website.
Well, the story just moved, Maria. I just saw it. It came by my desk. I have my own hot wire with my own folks. Reporters worry about Biden's cough.
Oh.
So it's popping now. Yeah. What a surprise.
Interesting. Let's see. I don't think he had the vaccine, but, you know, doesn't mean he's just not catching something.
They asked Raggedy Ann about it. What's going on with Biden's cough? I don't think it's an area of concern. Next question.
Yeah, she's the best gatekeeper ever to hold that position. I don't think she's going anywhere.
Let me get your opinion on this because it plays into what we've said for a long time and what we touched on tonight. The CDC now is admitting today, this is also breaking, that 1 in 3 patients suffer from long COVID.
It's true.
Isn't it amazing how they change? They keep changing and moving the goalposts, and nobody ever calls them out and says, hey, wait a minute. You know, your misinformation and your misdiagnoses and your lies and your spin in your narrative could have killed a lot of people who took your advice and then did something when it was based on lies. There's no remorse. There's no penalties. That's what I'm talking about with corruption. It's so corrupt that you can get away with anything. And so why not try it? That's what they think. I'm convinced that's what they think.
It's like a child. If you let a child continue to get away with things, they're going to just keep moving forward because there was no consequences. Now you have a little Tasmanian devil on your hands. Well, we've got a bunch of them because now they don't even care enough to hide the illusion. It's like, yep, we know you know this and we don't care. We're going to just keep moving it. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. No matter how shocked people think they could be, like tomorrow morning we wake up and there's something crazy going on, it's really not a shock. Because we are truly numb to it, and we are numb to justice never being served. They are getting away with doing anything they want. Now, we are seeing some pushback. We need to do more, but we are seeing the pushback where a lot of people are saying, nope, we're leaving our jobs. Nope, we'll figure it out. Nope, I'll take early retirement. No, my family will downsize. We will figure it out. We will cut expenses. We will sell the boat. We will do this. We will do that. Nope, you're not going to work no more. You're going to homeschool the kids. People are getting proactive in their own lives. Then you have the people that are voting with their feet and their dollars. If you live in New York or one of the metropolitans, and you know they're not going to these establishments that you know, want to enact asking for your papers, please. So is it happening on a small scale? Yeah. Would we like it to happen on a much bigger scale to send a message? Would I love a trucker strike in this country? Yes. And here's something else I want to say, just because I know people. All of these elites in Congress, okay, and they sit in their ivory towers. There's a lot of people that were once professional people that are now doing what we can call gig work, okay? So you know what that is, right?
Yeah, it's just independent contractors doing piecemeal stuff, yeah.
Yes, so really, the elites have no idea. Like, they think who's showing up to their house is some little peon. These little peons once were of some substance, have connections, know things. But the elites don't know that. But these people get to gain information and see how they live and see what they do and see what they order.
You're starting to sound like a spy. You're scaring me a
little
bit.
Well, I mean, when you know lots of people, you know lots of people, and people like to tell you stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what Intel's all about.
Right. Well, I've got some funny stories that I can laugh at this one. Just to know that some of the top, you know, muckety mucks in the administration are having a hard time getting their fancy organic products or, you know, things that they want. And I could tell you, they're having little hissy fits because the supply chains are not there. So they're not even able to get what they want. Now, of course, what they get is way more expensive than you and I can afford.
Well, you must be reading my mind, because I was going to cover that and ask you if you're seeing stuff we talked about back in July, if you're seeing the byproducts of that down in Florida, because we are seeing it here. We are seeing it here. So that was on my list to talk to you about.
No, I go out a few times a week. The shelves that are light, it's really stuff that I don't buy anyway. Okay, yeah. So I don't really notice it. But the meats and the dairy and all of that stuff, it's fine. You know, the toilet paper, everything's fine. But I do know personally, across the nation, like you're saying, that there are problems. I know that.
Yeah, there's problems.
We went out furniture shopping for my daughter. Forget it. Everything she wanted is not, you cannot obtain it. They have no timeline on when furniture could be manufactured and delivered. At a minimum was 14 weeks, and that was no guarantee. So she had to settle on what was in stock. And I told her that. I said, listen, if you don't grab something now, you might be ass out. So, sorry. You know, you had your first choice, you had your second choice, you had your third choice. You get down to your fourth choice, and the guy says, hey, I have one of those left. You take it.
There's always the wooden spool.
Right.
That we found back in the day would go get the wooden. That's probably a guy thing. We're happy with a wooden spool in our place.
Yeah. Appliances. I know people waiting on appliances. Many weeks. There's problems out there.
Well, we've talked about the massive, massive amount of backlog at Chinese ports, and then that also extends to other Asian ports. A lot of furniture comes out of Vietnam, et cetera, and it's creating problems.
The furniture we wanted was coming out of North Carolina.
Well, it's got a there's a backlog down there. You're talking about custom-made furniture, like from High Point and places like that? Yeah.
Yeah, there's tons of furniture manufacturers. This was particularly Broyhill. And they had a 14. The guy said he never saw this happen before. When he was putting in our orders, that in front of his eyes, it basically went to, you can't order it because they can't guarantee anything. So we had to take what was in stock. Now, Zero Hedge, I don't know if this was an earlier today article or it just dropped before you called me, top shipper warms commodity freight rates about to go parabolic. So you can really? Look that up. That's yeah, that was a Zero Hedge article that I emailed myself around 9 o'clock.
I wonder if I know Broyhill Hill, I think, has a big plant in Louisiana. I wonder if anything happened during the hurricane, if that has anything to do with it.
This one was saying specifically North Carolina because he was looking, and he called 13 different places. We were there for like quite a while. The guy was working his buns off to try to help us because we were willing to go to wherever we, like if anybody had it, we were willing to, you know, go get it. And no, even if a store said they had 4 left or 3 left, by the time this guy was making the calls, they were all accounted for and, you know, you can't have it. So she settled on what she settled with. It's not a big deal. It's not her forever yeah. furniture anyway. And that's what I told her. You get what you get for now and down the line, you know, it's not your forever furniture, so I don't care. But, it was another piece of good intel on the furniture industry that they are struggling. And you know, you're not able to buy off the showroom floor. We know that's their showroom. But we know what's going on with the cars, too. The car lots, they don't have the – and it's funny because a friend of mine was at a family function, and they were – one of the family members is an engineer contractor for the government. And they were talking about the chips and you know, why the car manufacturing is just not there right now. And so a lot of car dealerships are hurting. And my friend goes, oh, really? You think that's the reason? And the guy goes, well, yeah, what do you think it is? He goes, you really think there's going to be a need for that many drivers? They're killing everybody.
Well. That's one way to look at it.
And the fact that the guy he said it to was vaccinated, which was even funnier because of the look on his face. But you have to think like that. You do have to think like that. You're like, all of these crazy things are happening. You know, food is hard. Certain foods are hard to obtain. And like I said, you have to hold your breath and hope that your appliances don't break down. Because if you wanted a certain thing, you're not going to get it. You're just not. If you are, I feel bad for these young couples starting out in life and you know, you're going to get married and you want to buy a house and you want to furnish it. Well, you might not be able to furnish that house. And we don't know when you're going to be able to furnish that house. This is what I mean. Everybody's life is in limbo. And that's why I get so twisted with the everyday bread and circuses. There are some days that are just worse than the others that set me off. I mean, really, if you would have recorded me today,
that would have been, really that would have been bad. That would have been bad. I mean, it would have been great radio, I guess, but you know, you always have to have a cool down period. Like I last night I was pumped up last night, like furious about that stuff I watched with the US gymnasts, and I'm happy today that I had a little bit of distance between that and today's show, so I could, you don't want to make it. I mean, at least I don't want to make it about me. Like you see these guys on TV and they have their own shows. They're always angry, and it's about like the rage seems to be the focus of the show. And it's like, okay, well, what do you have besides being angry? What else are you giving to people who are spending their time with you? Are you giving them something else or just rage? Because they can get that anywhere. So, you know, it's entertaining, I guess, people's rage. But at the same time, you want to give people something, a little bit something they can take back and use in their daily life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's important as a journalist. You want to try to help people.
Right.
Entertainment's one thing, but helping them seems to be a better idea. I think Broyhill, I just looked up, I think they make a lot of their furniture is made in, you guessed it, China.
China?
China, yeah.
Well, why did they tell me North Carolina?
That's probably where they're based out of, Lenore, North Carolina. But they have subsidiaries that make furniture and get furniture from China. So we'll see what happens.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. So our furniture industry from North Carolina is coming from China. Good to know.
I mean, you have to look. It's a damn shame you have to look this stuff up. Now, I remember when my wife and I were engaged, we went down to like a place called Thomasville Furniture, which was in North Carolina, and we picked out a couch chair and everything. And they said, well, you know, it takes us a while to make it and all this stuff. And we thought, oh, great. They're making it down there. But now I'm starting to think, where did they really make it at?
Right. Back in the day, it was probably made there. Yeah. Definitely.
I definitely think that's right. Their place was huge down there. I mean, massive.
Oh, Thomasville furniture is beautiful.
But I think some Chinese subsidiary went and they bought Thomasville and Company and Broyhill. So that's worth looking up.
Oh, of course, China owns tons of stuff.
Well, even if they don't own it, but you're using it as your go-to, you see what happens when you don't make your own furniture. And if you're depending on materials from outside the country, well, all you have to do is turn off the spigot. You don't get no more materials.
Well, so I'm saying this is why our appliances are backed and I mean everything. We are a very vulnerable country. We thought in 2016, we were going to turn this around. We knew that we were in a very vulnerable position. We've known that. And now it just seems like sand slipping through the fingers faster and faster. We're definitely in survival mode. That is where we are. Right now, we are trying to survive illness. What comes out of this on the other side? I have no idea. We don't know what type of industries for work there's going to be, what wheel they're going to create. We just don't know. But right now, we're in fight mode and we're in survival mode. That's all we could do.
Building on that, one of the things that doesn't seem to be discussed often enough is, you're either sick or you're not sick, et cetera. You either have, you're down and out, whether it's the flu or COVID or whatever. But another thing that's not really discussed is the grind of all this, that it grinds us all down on our nerves, our anxiety, our kids, worrying about your kids, right? Worrying about your grandkids. It's like, okay, whatever happens to me, it's cool. I can handle it, but now I got to worry about all these other things. And just that grind, I sit and I wonder, because I've been through something similar with the Justice Department, you know, for years. I don't know how long it went. It went on for seemingly forever. I mean, I used to have a lot more hair. I was in a lot better shape. And I wonder how many years that shaved off my entire life here. And then I start to think.
Oh, it's stress, yeah.
Yeah, and I start to think about this, and I'm thinking, I wonder how much they're shaving off. You know, these are the intangibles. There's no studies for that. There's no, you can't touch these things with a study, but they're there. They're there. About that.
Well, that's a lot of the things that I've been studying and trying to learn with the protocol and the cells and what can happen to the cells and how the illness can age your cells and, you know, stress ages and all of this. But you can repair and turn things around. Like I've seen people say that they've had alopecia and like their hair is growing back or their eyelashes are growing back and their skin is glowing. And yes, are they repairing their cells? Maybe. So on one hand, we're stressed out, but if we're keeping ourselves healthy, maybe we're in a good spot. That's all we could hope for at this point. But yes, when you were going through that, you better believe your cortisol levels were kicking in at high gear. That's years, Mike. I mean, how many years was that? 6, 8? It was a long time.
I got to think it was from bookend to bookend, 8 years.
There you go. It's 8 years of your life. Yes. waiting for the other shoe to fall. And when is this going to be over? And yes, you're worried about your wife. You're worried about your kids. My God, it's horrifying.
That might seem like a walk in the park compared to this COVID. By the time they're done with us, 8 years might seem like a cakewalk.
Well, for you, it might have been a waxing and waning daily operation, going from pissed off and revengeful to depressed and, miserable. And then, you probably just had a roller coaster of emotions for 8 years. That's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy. What about everybody else who's not built for something like that? You know what I mean?
Oh, it's devastating.
What kind of effect does that have on a lot of these folks? And, some of my friends, I'd be honest with you, I talk to them. They're very depressed. It's gotten to the point where I'm a little worried about them. I tell them, keep your chin up and that kind of stuff. But what the hell? I'm not a licensed therapist, right? I don't know. But I can tell, these guys 30, 40 years, and you say to yourself, they sound like they're getting down there near rock bottom, and that's scary. You see grown men who have been
very
functional
and
stuff, and you wonder what kind of grind this is having on them. And everybody has it different, right? Because if you're just trying to make ends meet and you're trying to hold things together, and then they drop on you, hey, if you don't get these jabs, you're out of a job. You're like, what the?
Yeah, they're the ones I'm the most worried about, because they really have the weight of the world on their shoulders, especially if they're adamant they don't want it, and it depends on their age. See, when you study, the Fourth Industrial Revolution and watch millions of conferences, you will see how they openly talk about basically reinventing yourself until you die, because the intention is not to have Social Security. We know that, right? So you're going to have to keep working and working and working, and for every new technology, they teach you, then that one goes by the wayside, and you're going to have to constantly be retrained for new jobs. That's not living. That's just sustaining and surviving. That is
surviving.
Not a
life. Yeah. The show Survivor was even, it was on a limited run, and you see how these guys do. It's not supposed to be 365.
No.
24/7.
This is why I said many weeks ago that children were being born into corporate slavery. We're living it, and at our age, if we don't make arrangements to either live comfortably on what you have, like if you had bigger dreams for your future at this point, they're definitely on hold. Because if you want to sustain, how can I word this? If you don't want to be owned by the government and have to give in to the government to make your money, you're going to have to figure out a way that you don't have to be out there in the rat race.
You're going to have to get damn creative to figure that out. Damn creative.
Yeah.
And that's stressful. That's stressful too, though. That's stressful too. That's the weight of the world.
It could be two things. It could be stressful, but it could be invigorating for the fact that you're using the only power you have left. And if you're successful at pulling it off, it's very rewarding. If you say, okay, we've just downsized everything, we're finding the state on the map that's the cheapest to live and no state tax and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we're going to homeschool and we're going to do this. And when you pull that off, that's very rewarding. So with anything in life, it is how you look at it. Like when I was angry today, I wasn't angry. I was angry about people. And the ugliness of people. I wasn't angry because something in my life or... does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I mean, this kind of touches on the theme now we're on. This... People deal with... I say this. I guess I learned during my... The only thing I could I can relate it to is what I went through and some of the things that I learned from what I went through. And because, you know, you think you're handling things and your family tells you, yo, you've been a dick lately. What's your problem? But, you know, that happens when you internalize a lot of stuff. But